This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis coming out once again, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. The old Trailblazer, pastor here at Radio Mission, where all of these messages go out week after week, day after day, Sunday after Sunday. And let me just mention quickly, I just happened to think about it. We have a website, radiomission.org, and you can go there. And on Sunday, we have our regular Sunday services, Bible school at 10, worship hour at 11. And then on Sunday night and Wednesday night at 6:30, Wednesday night at 7, our services are over the internet, live streaming, live, just as live as we can get, giving out the gospel. And maybe you haven't never heard of those, but go there and pick up our website, and it'll have all of that information there. And if you can't find out how to get to it, you call me. Call a bookstore. Someone will be there Monday through Friday. A lot of time I'm there, and you can talk to me. But the bookstore number is 225-664-8658. And if you don't have a catalog, you ask the little girl to send you a catalog of the Radio Bible and Book Room. And all of these messages we bring in are on CDs, and maybe you'd like to have some of them. Well, let's get back to our study. We were looking there in our last study how that some shall depart from the faith. And we said the church or the ministry cannot turn away from these great basic doctrines without turning to the doctrines of demons. So we want to look at those doctrines that he would mention. We mentioned the sovereignty of God. You can't throw away the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. It's one of the cardinal truths of God's word. And then the total depravity of man. If you go astray on the doctrine of the total depravity of man, you'll go astray on every other doctrine. You will. You say, well, Pastor, maybe I'm ignorant, but what is the total depravity of man? Did you know the old Trailblazer asked that very question in my early days of my life? And when I came under the gospel, I did not know what that meant. But my friend, the total depravity, man is a sinner by nature. He comes into this world born as a sinner, but he's totally depraved. Every one of his faculties, we love sin. We love sin. We love the things of the world. We love the things that are not pleasing to the Lord. And we're depraved. That's what it means, that we're depraved. You can't throw that doctrine away without turning to something else. Then, salvation by grace. Salvation is not of works, my friend. It's by grace. And you can't throw that away. Blood redemption in Christ. What is your hope? What is your hope this morning, tonight? My hope is Christ. Christ died for me. Oh, my friend, we have the gospel in those little words. Christ died for me. And then the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We can't throw that away. The second coming of Christ. We can't throw that away. No, these five great cardinal foundation doctrine of God's work. The sovereignty of God, the depravity of man, blood redemption in Christ, work of the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit bringing sinner to Christ, and the second coming of Christ are either neglected, lost sight of, scoffed at, ridiculed, made fun of in the average church and the average Bible school today. Now, my friend, that's true. As a result, the way has been prepared for the widespread infiltration of doctrines of demons among religious leaders and churches today. I had a man call me one day, and he had recently moved down here from up north somewhere. He's located in the area, and he called me, and he said, I understand y'all have a broadcast here and a bookstore and all, and he wanted to make small talk, and we did. And I just asked him how the Lord saved him, and he went on to tell me when he was 7 years old, he made a decision for Jesus. And I said, well, do you know that God is sovereign, that he chooses whom he'll save? He said, well, you must be a Calvinist, and he hung up on me. This was a Southern Baptist preacher. I thought, sure, that we could make friends, and I'd be able to, you know, have fellowship with him. But he hung the phone up on me, called me a Calvinist. Well, I don't know Mr. Calvin. I know he preached the sovereignty of God. I do. I know he preached the sovereignty of God. But my friend, listen, before Satan could put over his purpose of being worshipped himself, he has to destroy or set aside these great cardinal truths. You won't find them in the average church. You look at what we have today. Some of our great old denominations that are long time here now have elected a woman to be the bishop in charge of their worldwide religion, whereas the Bible is plain that no woman is to usurp authority. Oh, surely I get in trouble, as it were, from saying that there's no such a thing as a woman preacher. She's an imposter. And I tell folks that to their face, and I don't go behind their back to tell them, because they have no scriptural grounds for a woman preaching. They don't. They don't. You say, well, you must be a woman hater. No. No, I'm not. I'm not. I've been married to the same woman for 57 years, and I love people. I love humanity, and I love women in their place. In their place. Not plowing and all of those things people think. No. But a woman has no right to call herself a preacher. Now, I know they got some of them on radio and on television, and they would rant and rave if they hear me make that statement. But they probably don't hear the old trailblazer. Somebody might call them and tell them. But listen, listen, I want you to take notice of these facts. The sovereignty of God, Satan has humanized the Lord Jesus Christ down to the mere name of Jesus. Remember we spoke about that in our last study or two? And very seldom do you ever hear the second person of the triune God spoken of except by the name Jesus. Secondly, Satan has succeeded in deleting the doctrine of the total depravity from the average pulpit. In its place, he has substituted the doctrine of demons, known as the exaltation of man, the goodness of man, the free will of man. In other words, man has been deified. Then, third, over a period of time, a long time, he has raised up a group of preachers in our churches who either minimize or make fun of blood redemption in Christ and salvation by grace, and has substituted salvation by works in the form of a program. Oh, my friend, that's what's happening now. And I know I've told you many times how that folks won't have the gospel. Just won't have it. Satan teaches that there's something good in every man. I've heard evangelists come into town to hold a meeting, and I've heard them say, now, we don't want to cause no problems. We know that you're all saved, and we just want to talk about the love of God. Now, my friend, when I go into the pulpit here, wherever across this nation where I'm called to speak a word or two, I preach as though my whole congregation is lost. Those who are saved will understand. The Bible says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. That's what I do. Just like at a funeral, I've conducted funerals all over America. And when I stand in the pulpit, usually I lay my hand on the head or the brow of that individual, man, woman, boy, or girl. I come away from there with this sense that there's no life there. Cold, cold clay. And then I stand in the pulpit and I tell folks, first of all, there's three things that the Lord has commanded we do as preachers. First of all, we marry the young, and I love to do that. I love to conduct a wedding of a young couple who've fallen in love and show me, give me evidence that they love each other. And I am blessed to be able to perform that ceremony. I've done it all over the country. And then we're to bury the dead. That's what we're called on to do. I have folks who haven't seen me in many years. Once they came to this church, but they have a death in their family, they call me, Pastor, will you come? Will you come conduct the funeral of Mama or Papa? And surely I do that. You know why? Because the third thing is we preach the gospel. And that's what the old trailblazer likes to do. I love to stand and tell how God saves a sinner. And I take a funeral as an opportunity. Some folks there have never been in a church maybe in their life, nor in the last 20 years. Maybe I'll never see them again. I tell them that. We'll never meet again under this same circumstance. And then I ask them, are you saved? I said, this individual lying in this coffin, that's only the mortal body. The soul is gone on to be with the Lord, or either gone on to their place of eternity. I don't get into those things. Sometimes I never mention the name. I don't eulogize, my friend. Don't call me to eulogize some of your friends. I won't do that. That's what the movie stars do. That's what the politicians do. Oh, they take hours and hours to eulogize. And then they get some nightclub singer to sing Amazing Grace. which is abomination before God. I don't do that, my friend. But I tell folks at every funeral that I go to how God saves a sinner. And then I wind up, close out, with, are you saved? So I ask you this morning, tonight, out there in my radio audience, the old Trailblazer listener, are you saved? You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean, are you trusting the Lord? Are you have given up all hope of being saved on your own and then come to the Lord as a poor beggar begging for mercy? And the Lord granted you grace to trust him. The scripture says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Did you know you're going to come to believe the Lord? But are you going to ever get saved? You're going to come to believe him. Every promise, every jot, and every tittle. Well, I don't know if it's true or not. Well, it's true whether you believe it or not. We often make this statement. This is God's word that I hold in my hand. You can believe it and be saved. You can disbelieve it and go to hell for your trouble. Folks have written me and said, you ought to not say that. My friend, if it got your attention, didn't it? And then I say, my friend, this is God's word. It holds out hope. It's the only contact you have. Folks tell me, well, Jesus told me this. No, Jesus didn't tell you nothing. Jesus never told you anything. Well, I saw a vision. Well, that was of the devil. That was of demon spirit, my friend. Well, I saw a light in the corner of the room. That was a demon manifestation. Well, I felt tingling in the back of my neck. Well, that was a demon manifestation. Well, I spoke in tongues. That's a demon manifestation, my friend. All of those things Satan has palmed off on our people, that anything of a religious nature is of the Lord. And I refute that with all the authority that God has given me to refute error. That's what I do. I refute error. We call ourselves here the voice of truth. The voice of truth ministry. I tell you, my friend, it's great to know the Lord. I do. I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to come in your home now, in your car, in your 18-wheeler, in your boat, airplane, wherever you are. I have folks who hear me from Sacramento, California, to Orlando, Florida, from Newport News, Virginia, to Del Rio, Texas, and all in between. And they write me. Some of them write me, email me. Let me give you my email address. It's pastor@radiomissions.org. They email me and say, Pastor, go on. Keep on. Keep on stepping on my toes. Keep on telling me. You say, what you mean by stepping on your toes? I have folks write me. And they say, can I get saved shacking up? I said, no, ma'am. And no, sir, you cannot. The Lord doesn't save you in your sin. He saves you from sin. And I tell you, day in and day out, come to the Lord. He'll save you. He'll save you. Throw down all your rebellion. Ask the Lord to break all the rebellion. You say, well, I'm not in. Yes, you are. If you're not trusting the Lord, you're in rebellion against a holy God. Oh, my friend, I wish I had another 30 minutes at this time. But remember, God is angry with the wicked every day. God hates sin. He loves sinners, my friend, but he hates sin. And he won't have sin. You won't never enter into heaven with sin. No, sir, it has to be clean. And I believe every born-again believer realizes that he has to trust the living God and that sin must be broken. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye, and God bless you.